You don't give up. You trust in the Lord. Amen. And he said the same thing that the Lord told Rudy, that your time is not up. It's time for you to go back. And Rudy is working at the senior center, collecting names and being a blessing there, a light, telling his testimony. Amen. We all have a testimony, don't we? Praise the Lord. So right now we're going to worship the Lord in our giving, our tithes, and our offerings unto the Lord. And know that as we give to the Lord, we're giving unto the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. He can make things happen in your life when you acknowledge him. But if you hold back, the Bible says if you hold back, you tend to scarcity. But when you give, generosity comes upon you. People want to give to you because you've tapped into the spiritual realm. You tapped into the provision of God. And God will make things happen that you couldn't make happen in your own self. Isn't that good news? You're not just... You know, have to do it in your own strength. You have a God in heaven that's watching over you. So as we give today, let's give in faith. So Father, I thank you for the gifts that we're about to give to you, to acknowledge you, to thank you for all the things that you've done for us, and to provide for us not only now, but in the future. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Generations falling down in worship, sing a song of ages to the Lamb. All walk before us, and all will believe. Sing a song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry. Always be.
Amen. You know, you're going to be holy forever as well. Amen. We're holy and blameless before him in love. Amen. Isn't that good? That's going to be a good thing to look forward to, right? No more bad thoughts, no more bad speech, no more hostility. Everybody's going to get along. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. We can have it now, right, if we just apply ourselves and let the Word of God be richly formed within us. And we're going to talk today about how to be strong in the Spirit. How many of you are excited about that? Amen. Okay, good. I'm in the right place. Good enough. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for bringing us together today. I thank you that utterance would be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, to bless your people and perfect them in the saints, to do all the work of the ministry. We just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, faith is a wonderful gift, isn't it? I mean, it's amazing that God in heaven, who has all things, can bestow that upon us by us believing in his word and putting faith in what he has said. He said, I love you with an everlasting love. We have to believe that. Even when we mess up, we have to say, oh, God, I know you're with me. You're going to make all things work together for my good, despite my works and my actions and my thoughts and the things that I've said. Lord, thank you. Help me for doing and covering. The Bible says love covers, what, a multitude of sins. Anybody have any sins out there? Well, you don't have to raise your hand, okay? Thank God he covers them, right, with his love. So we're going to talk about that he can bring provision, he can bring protection, he can bring healing from heaven to earth. His mercy, his compassion, and his love is abundantly bestowed upon us. Isn't that good news? All that God is, he said, I want to shower it down upon you. Glory to God. So we've talked about three things that God wants to do, and if you look at that in 1 Thessalonians, Anthony 5, it was to say here, now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's working everything, our body, our mind, and our spirit, to be blameless, to be perfect in him. Amen? Now, the first week of this series, we talked about God wants our body healed. Did you know that? The woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. We have to believe that ourselves. If we can just touch the word of God, if we can just touch Jesus, touch his word, that instantly and actively his word, his spirit and his healing will come into our bodies. Isn't that good news? Amen. Okay, all right. I got to work a little bit here. Okay, now... Then we talked about how he wants to take hold of our soul, our mind, our emotions, our will, things that we want to do, things that we say, all the things that we dream about. He wants to take control over that in our mind so that we can live a perfect life and we can make right decisions. How many know if you're confused and you're frustrated, you can't make a right decision, you can't follow the path of the Lord? But today, hallelujah, we're going to talk about having a strong spirit. We need a strong spirit to cope with all the heartache and headache that we have to go through in this world. You need a strong spirit to overcome. God told, what did he tell Joshua? He said, go and be strong, only be strong and very courageous so that you may take all the land. He's telling us the same thing. You got to be strong, you got to be courageous. Now, why would he tell us that in our spirit? I thought, well, okay, if God is in our spirit, if he's come upon us, what part does our spirit play in it? A very big, important part. In the New Testament, it said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, right? So let me give a little demonstration, because I was trying to figure this out all week, you know, all week, because we have our human spirit right here, right? We got our human spirit. And the Bible says that our spirit was dead to Christ because of Adam's sin. We are separated from him. So we just had our spirit. But now the Holy Spirit comes. Let's look at this here. He doesn't take over, but he mixes with our spirit so that we become one with him. Let me show you. Good. So I feel like Martha Stewart. So, so that now we're one spirit with the Lord. Now, he doesn't override our spirit. He works with us. He's our helper. He's our counselor. He's our strengthener, right? And we can say, no, I don't want to do it. But he's saying, no, come on, you need to do the right thing. No, I don't want to do it. I don't want to forgive. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to love my neighbor. No, you got to. And as he keeps talking to us, he convinces us and encourages us to do the right thing. Amen? So the Bible says in Romans 8:16, this is where I got that illustration, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Our spirit receives the Holy Spirit and says, oh, now I know I belong to God and God belongs to me. When I first got saved, that's what happened. I was asking the Lord, Lord, if you can do anything with my life, you can have it right now because I made a mess of it. Anybody have that situation where you go to the end of your rope and the edge of the cliff and you say, okay, God, I guess my way didn't work. If you can do anything with my life now, you can have it. And he just came and he filled my heart and I realized, oh, I came from him. My spirit came from him. Now I got to reconnect and let him come into me and guide and direct me. Praise God. Now look at this in 1 Corinthians 2:10. For the Spirit searches all things, yeah, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except by the spirit of the man which is in him? So look at your neighbor and just try to guess what they're thinking. Go ahead, look at your neighbor. Just try to guess what they're thinking. Can you guess? Now, I think some of you are saying we're hungry. No, that's not what I'm trying to get at here. But you can't tell what they're thinking because it's in your spirit. But look at the end of this. It says, even so, no one knows the things of God except by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit knows what the Father God wants to do in our lives. And so he tells us, he encourages us, he shows us. You need to go here, you need to go there. You need to be friends with that person. You need to go for that job application. You need to go to that house. Amen? I like Rosie. She was saying, well, maybe I got to move out, you know, to get an affordable house somewhere. And I said, no, you don't have to do that. I mean, let me help you. And so, wholly coincidentally, I was on the internet, and it says, here's rooms for rent in San Dimas. I go, praise the Lord. I sent it to her, and she went there and interviewed, and they liked her, and they want to save the place for her. What? God working, amen. God, I don't like to lose sheep. You know what? It's a long way to Victorville, amen? So look at it. In Luke 2:40, it says, and the child grew, talking about Jesus, and became strong in spirit. What is that? That's a progression. Didn't just happen overnight. And we have to become strong in spirit as well. And we're going to find out how we have to do that. We have to become strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, we don't know when Jesus realized that he was the Son of God. Do we know? Was it 2 years old or 3 years old or 4 years old? It surely couldn't have been when he was a baby. He didn't go, wah, wah, goo, goo, I'm the Son of God. No. He had to realize, because we know at the age of 12, he went into the temple and he was talking to the teachers there. He was asking them questions and they were asking him questions and they were marveling and amazed at the wisdom this boy had. What was he doing? He was studying. He was becoming strong in the spirit. Are you strong in the spirit to be able to answer people when they have a question or a concern? Are you able to unfold the word of God to them? Hallelujah. Now, look at this. Here's why strong spirit is important. You ready for this in Proverbs 18:14? And I'm really rolling, I'm telling you. I'm just feeling good. I'm feeling good. But look what it says. The strong spirit of a man sustains him in, what does it say? Bodily pain or trouble. But a weak and broken spirit, who can raise him up or bear him? In other words, your spirit has to be strong when adversity comes, when trouble comes, when hardship comes. You can't give up. You have to be strong. I know God is with me. I know this is going to work out for my good. I'm not going to give up. It may look bad, but I'm going to keep on fighting. I'm going to keep on believing. Now, look what it says in Proverbs 24:10. It says, if you faint in the day of adversity, what? Your strength is small. You're just a baby. Well, you know, we went to a game a Little League game, Arturo's son, and they lost 16-1. Now, you have to be strong in the spirit to still believe in yourself. They had to call the game. Okay, you guys, you're not going to do anything. You're never going to win. Let's all go home. But we went and had pizza. We had a good time. But now, Paul had some troubles. Let's look at this in 2 Corinthians 11:24. I don't know if that's up there. But anyway, I'll read it to you. He says, 5 times I received from the hands of the Jews 40 lashes, save one. So he got 39 stripes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned by my own countrymen. 3 times I was aboard a ship, shipwrecked at sea. A whole night and a day I spent in the water adrift. Many times on journeys, exposed to perils from rivers, perils from bandits, perils from my own nation, perils from the Gentiles, perils in the city, perils in the desert places, perils in the sea, perils from those posing as believers but destitute of Christian knowledge and piety. This guy had troubles. I mean, nobody liked him. I mean, wherever he went, they were after him, right? And he goes on. Can I tell you my story? In toil and hardship, watching often through sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, frequently driven to fasting by want, in cold and exposure and lack of clothing. You want to be an apostle? This is not a pleasure trip. And besides all these things, I had the care of the churches and the concern. I'm telling you, it was tough. In 2 Corinthians 1:8, here's what he says. For I do not want you to be ignorant. 2 Corinthians 1:8. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, that we despaired even of our life. Ouch. These guys were having a hard time, weren't they? The apostle and everybody that was with them. He says, you want to come on, you want to be an apostle, go on our missionary journey? No, thanks, Paul. I think we'll just, in fact, one of the disciples jumped ship, said, I'm getting out of here. No, I'm too young for this. But we have these same kind. And then he goes on, ready? 2 Corinthians 4:8-10. He's really laying it out for us. And maybe you can relate to this. It says, we are hard pressed on every side. Everywhere we look, everywhere we go, we had the pressure. Hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed. We don't know what's going to happen, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. We're still alive. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I can remember my wife and I when we were moving from one house to the other, and we made some mistakes in calculation, and we wound up having to restructure the house, improve it so that we could live in it. And just by bad calculation, we're in the house, and we didn't have any place to sleep. It was just like dirt floor, and I just laid down there, and I felt bad. You know, here I'm supposed to be the leader of the family here, and this didn't look good. So I just laid down in our sleeping bags on the dirt floor, and my wife just came and gave me a hug. She says, I believe in you, honey. I believe in you. I go, oh, you're kidding. We were struck down but not destroyed, amen? God rose us up. Amen. So life holds many challenges, doesn't it? Even those who place their faith in Christ are subject to hardships. Trials flare up unexpectedly to test our faith. And so we have to know that setbacks, insults, illness, tragedy, and persecution can be endured, not just with a positive attitude, but a faith in God. I'm going to marry somebody in August, and he proposed to this girl. He's been dating her for 7 years. Oh, come on, talk to me. That's a long time, you know. They said they had to mature to get to the point where they're ready to get married. But as soon as he said, will you marry me, he lost his job to, you know, a computer company. They said, we're going to come in and use the computers. So that's right off the bat, they got a tragedy. They got something that they have to overcome. So we have to overcome things like that. We have to have a positive attitude. Okay, I'm going to share a story with you. Well, let's do this first. Okay, just to give you an illustration how you have to be strong in the spirit. Are you strong in the spirit? Yes, Lord. Well, you know, sometimes people think they're strong in the spirit, but they're really not. What they say is, I know God is able. I know God will heal me someday. Well, I always say someday is not on the calendar, you know? I mean, the Bible says he's healed us now. He's delivered us now. He's transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, right? So we mentally assent, but we don't have the strong faith to believe God. So I have here, at my disposal here, a weight that I'm going to ask Larry to come up. And I picked the biggest guy that we could find. And I figured he can do it, right? Oh, hold on, let me get this out of the way here. Okay, watch the camera there. Okay, come around here, Larry, now. Can you do this?
I guess we'll see, huh? Yeah.
Are you strong in the Lord?
I don't know. We talk every day.
Can you do all things?
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Well, that's a good confession of faith. But let's see how he can do. Let's see. The Lord is your strength. Okay, go to it. Come on now. Here we go. Wait a minute. Larry, come on, Larry. Let's go. Larry, what's happening here?
What's happening?
I haven't weightlifted since I was a kid. Okay. And I can't lift it.
You can't lift it. I'm so sorry to hear that. But your confession of faith was good. But the thing is, you weren't building up your spirit. You weren't exercising your faith. You weren't doing anything to build yourself up. So you're just going to have to take a seat, okay? We're going to have to get somebody that can actually, who's been doing this for a while. Let's see here. Oh, Christian, can you come up here? Maybe he can do it. Maybe he. Well, how you feeling?
Pretty good. Good morning, Texas. Good morning, everybody.
Yeah. Now, have you been doing this recently?
For a little while, yeah.
Okay. All right. You go to the gym much?
Here and there, yeah.
Do you think you can lift this over your head?
Sure, I can.
Okay, all right. Well, excuse me. All right, let's see. Woo! Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Christian. You know, I did see some muscles popping. Did you see some muscles popping there? Very good. Okay, so what's the moral of the story? You have to keep exercising your faith every day. You can't just walk up here like Larry said, I used to work out when I was a kid, but now, oh, I can't do it. You know, I used to be able to beat cancer and all that stuff, but I don't know now. No, you have to exercise your faith all the time. We're going to show a video here of this guy who taught us how to, by a technique. Well, we'll talk about it. Let's see the video.
Sorry. I need just clean here. I will put it back. No worries. You mean there's a fake bar, the fake, no?
Not fake, bro. It's original bar.
No. This was like, okay, no worries. I just put it back. That's what they said, like, it feels like fake. I'm sorry.
How many of you think that was fake weights? Anyway, let me see your hands if you think it was fake weights. A couple people. Yeah, that's what I thought too. But then I found out, actually, Arturo told me, no, that guy's for real. He only weighs 180 pounds, but he learned a technique on how to power lift. He's a professional power lifter, and it's like a little prank that he plays on kids, on those guys. And you see how amazed. But guess what? You can amaze your friends by the power you have in faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? You can do things that it didn't look like you could do. They're going like, how did you get that house? How did you get that job? How did you get healed? I trusted and believed in the Lord. I went into my secret place, and I found the power and the strength in the Lord. Amen? Amen. We could go home now, right? That's good. But we got some more things here. We're going to find out what's the indicators of a weak spirit and the indicators of a strong spirit, and then how to build yourself up in your most holy faith. But first, I want to tell you a little story about David. You know, David was a man after God's own heart, but he had troubles, did he not? The Lord anointed him, Samuel anointed him to be king, and he thought, oh, praise the Lord. Just a beautiful walk down Main Street. I'm going to be the king. Everything's going to be fine. But Saul didn't like that. He was the king at the time. And he threw javelins at him, and he ran after him, and he chased him into the caves. And so David had to run for his life. Wait a minute. I thought I was supposed to be the king. I'm supposed to be anointed. I'm supposed to have a happy, good marriage. Why isn't it working out? This job that the Lord gave me, how come I have such a bad supervisor? What's going on here? Why did I come into this neighborhood and I got this bad neighbor that has a dog barking all the time? What's up with this? Right? You have to overcome situations that you didn't think that you were going to have to face. So David, he has a home base in Ziklag. He got 600 men to come follow him, because he was a mighty man of God. He had the anointing of God. And when you have an anointing, people flock to you. So they came to him, and they were there for 16 months. They went out on a journey and came back, and guess what happened? The Philistines burned the city down, took all the wives and the children and the cattle, and they left, and they took him away. So when his men came, the 600 men came, you know what they said? We are devastated. We can't take this anymore. Let's look at what he said in the people that, yeah. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no power to weep. This is some serious crying, okay? Where you don't have any more tears to cry. You're crying, but nothing's coming out. I've been there before. I can't remember what it was about. But have you ever been there? Like, you're devastated. This is as worst as it can get. Not only are you not king, now you lost the people that like you, and everything that you had, your wives and children are gone. And they wanted to stone him. They didn't want to encourage him. But David had to do what? Encourage himself in the Lord. Let's look at that next slide. But David strengthened himself, encouraged himself in the Lord. When you got nobody else, at least you have the Lord. And so he got up enough strength to call for the priest, Abiathar, come, or that's his wife. He called for the priest, come give me an ephod. Let me see what the Lord is saying in this. That's what we have to do when things look desperate and discouraged and you're destitute. Lord, what do you got to say about this? So he inquired of the Lord, and he said, Lord, should we go overtake them? Should we, go and get them? And the Lord said, yes, go get them. You'll recover everything that you have lost. This is good news. When he came to his lowest point, when everybody was against him, God said, I'm still with you, and I'll cause things to happen in your favor. So he was able to gather the men, say, guys, I just heard from the Lord. This is going to be okay. Let's go get him. So they went out to get their things. And here's an amazing thing. In their distress, they see an Egyptian guy by the side of the road, and he was sick, and he was weak, and it looked like, they could just pass him by. But no, David, out of the kindness of his heart, sometimes you're going through troubles and trials, but you forget to look and see what other people are going through. You can help them. So they stopped, and they talked to this Egyptian guy, and they go, what happened? How'd you get here? He goes, well, my master, they left me here because I was sick, and they went on. And David said, can you tell me where they went? He said, yeah, I'll tell you, but don't tell them that I told you. Okay, don't even turn me in. Just I'll tell you, and then you can go and capture them. So they went. They captured all the people, all the things that they'd left, their wives, their children. They came back, and it had a happy ending. But the moral of the story is you can't, even as bad as your situation is, still look out for other people along the way that you can help. God was looking at. So what he did for a small person, he did for you. So what is a strong spirit? It said, the Bible says a strong spirit will sustain us in any kind of trouble. A strong spirit is confident, established, unmovable, and ready for anything. It's steady under pressure, full of joy, and full of peace, and it never quits. So now let's look at some of the indicators of a weak spirit. You want to see, you know, measure yourself? Because when you go to the doctor's office, they measure you. They take, you know, blood tests, and they check your heart and all that stuff, and they your blood pressure and your weight and everything, and they say, well, let's see how you're doing. So here's some indicators of a weak spirit. You give up too easily. The moment opposition, delays, difficulties, you walk away making excuses and blaming others for the things that you have done. It's not my fault, you know. This is just what happened. We can't be universal studio Christians. You know what that means? I just made that up, okay? You ever been to Universal Studios? You go to the back lot, and you go down the street, and you go, oh, that's a beautiful street. You know, there's where Leave It to Beaver was filmed, and that's My Three Sons. Oh, that's beautiful. And then they go around the corner, and it's a facade. There's nothing in the back there. There's no buildings. There's no homes. There's no house. There's no rooms. It's a facade. Some of us are just facade Christians. Oh, praise God. How are you? Glory to God. But when trouble comes, it's like the three little pigs. I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down. And you're devastated. You don't have strength in yourself and in the Lord to overcome. Can I get an amen? Amen. I'm glad none of you are like that. Another thing is you feel overwhelmed. Maybe you find yourself getting upset over the small things. You feel like you can't handle things anymore. You're overwhelmed. I can't handle it. You don't have a strong spirit. Praise God. You feel hopeless. Oh, we got that? You feel hopeless. You might be experiencing a lack of joy or feel discouragement and despair, but you have to know that you can't give up. You can't feel hopeless because our hope is in the Lord. You become self-centered. This is a sign of being weak-spirited. You say, well, I'm not self-centered, but you're lacking in compassion towards others. You know, you see somebody having a hard time, you go, oh, praise God, glad that's not me. Amen. Let's move on, you know. Be warm, be filled, and be gone. No, you have to be compassionate. And you feel complacent. You feel like, I'm just going to coast. I'm just going to just stay where I'm at. I'm not going to move ahead on anything. You can't make a decision. You don't know what the Lord wants to do. That's a weak spirit. You're supposed to be strong and moving ahead. Here's another one. You're short-tempered. Nobody in here. You are touchy, easily offended, and oversensitive. Now, the marriage, they had a teaching where if you're starting to go in the wrong direction, you have to hit the pause button. Pause. Okay, hold that thought, you know. Am I going to do the same thing that I always did and get the same results that I've always gotten? If I'm going to get angry and flip my lid, or am I going to say, wait a minute, let me take a different direction here? And I already heard reports that some people said, yeah, we put the pause, I already hit the pause button the morning after. So it's so key because we have to not be short-tempered. Number six, you are fearful. Are you fearful? Are you panicky and worried about everything? We can't be. You can't resist temptation. Oh, that's a good one, isn't it? Now, Samson was strong in his physical body, but he was not strong in resisting temptation. He just fell for every floozy that came along. Come on, talk to me, you know? I mean, the worst of the worst. He says, I want that woman. You know, I don't care if she's a prostitute. I like her. I want to be with her. And Delilah wore him out. Amen. I mean, when you're reading that, you go, Samson, are you stupid or what? He said, what's the reason for your strength? And he makes up something, and then the Philistines come. Samson, the Philistines are coming. And then he shoves them away. This happened three times. Now, I don't know how long it took. I don't think it was like repetitively. Could have been like a day in between or a week in between. But she wore him out, and he couldn't resist temptation. That's not a good sign, is it? Are you able to resist temptation? Now, we had some chocolate cheesecake on Friday. And a lot of the natural people the pure eating people said, Pastor, we are not going to have the pie because we want our bodies to be pure. As soon as I put that out, they go, okay, forget about that. Not able to resist temptation, okay? And then they wake up, and like myself, I woke up the next morning, and I go, oh, my gosh, it stayed with me. So when you hit the pause button, you have to rewind and say, like, I know if I eat this, this is going to happen. Is that what I want to do? What I want to keep eating that? No, you have to say, I'm not going to do the same thing that I've done before. Praise God. So that's a sign of having a weak spirit. How about signs of having a strong spirit? You ready? You are assured and confident that things are going to work out for your good. You approach things with a confident certainty, and you will not struggle with fear and doubt. Oh, I have to teach children's church. Well, I don't know if I could do that. Yeah, you can do it. God will help you, right? I don't know if I can talk to that person and forgive them. Yeah, you can do it. You don't be fearful. Praise God. It got quiet in this Presbyterian church. Okay. You are established and immovable. Your spirit is strong. You'll not be afraid of bad news or anything the devil tries to throw at you. You are fixed in the Lord and the power of his might. In Psalms 112, it says, my heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. No matter what happens, you go, wait a minute, I belong to God, like David said. I've been anointed to be king. You've been anointed to be a good Christian and work in this ministry and work in this city. So God has already established and sealed you. You have to be confident of that, no matter what happens. Praise God. You are ready for anything. Ah, I didn't know that was going to happen. I was supposed to do children's church, and they had 17 kids there. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I just give up. No, God will give you wisdom. Amen. I remember in the first church, we're going to have some people that are coming. I was over at children's church, my wife and I, and the service started at 7 p.m., right? And you know how some churches, they just go on and on and on, and they have testimonies, and they have praise breaks, and they have all these things that are happening. They went to midnight, okay? We were in the convention center. And so finally, I ran out of all my material. There is nothing left. Every gimmick I've ever tried, every lesson I ever taught, everything that I could possibly do, and I was empty. And so I told Marianne, I go, Marianne, you take the girls and take them on a walk, and I'll take the guys and I'll take them on a walk. So we're walking, and they're acting up because they're tired. 11 o'clock, they're tired. So I lined them up against the wall. I said, okay, you guys, I'm bigger than you. I could beat you up. So you better listen to me. And one of the kids that I knew that we used to wrestle at his house, he said, oh, no, you can't take me. He took his coat off, ran towards me, jumped on me. I'm going like, Roy, get off of me. What are you doing? So then I came up with this great idea. And I didn't think it was going to work. But I put everybody in the class. I go, okay, guys. Okay, we only got like 45 minutes left. I go, I'll give a dollar to anyone that can be quiet for the remainder of the time. Oh, my gosh. You could have heard a pin drop. Everybody was like, I've never seen anybody be so perfect in all my life. They didn't move at all. I was walking around. I was trying to tease them. I was trying to say, you're doing a good job. Congratulations, what's your name? And they say their name. I go, oh, you talked. That's not, you can't do that. But the worst of the kids were the best. But here's my problem. They were all good. And there's 30 of them. So I lost $30 that night. But God gave me wisdom on what to do. I didn't get, overtaken by it. I'm ready for anything. God will give you wisdom, right? You have you have an overcomer's attitude. You'll overcome anything. Number five, you don't give up and you never quit. You never, ever, ever, ever quit. You exhibit the spirit, the fruit of the spirit. Now, let's see, how do you develop a strong spirit? And this will be the ending of it. How do you develop a strong spirit? Yes, sir. Reading the word every day. That's it. Okay, so it says here, watch your spiritual diet. What are you eating? Isn't that what the doctor says? Oh, you gained a little weight. What have you been eating? Oh, everything. I went to the doctor and I said, I'm trying to watch my weight. He goes, and I said, I get hungry. One meal is not enough. I go back for seconds. He goes, go back for vegetables. I said, that's not fun. You got lasagna and vegetables, go back for more vegetables. But I started doing that, and it seemed to work pretty good. Then I went back about 5 years later, and he all of a sudden was not the same. He had gained weight himself. And I felt like saying, here, let me write you out a prescription. Eat more vegetables. There you go, buddy. Praise God. So the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And what do we say? You are what you eat. If you're eating the Word of God is going to come out of your mouth. If you're eating TV and all these other things, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. So we have to have a lot of being indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Next thing is get some spiritual exercise. Now, exercise yourself unto godliness. The Bible says that even God exercised himself in godliness, in being humble and forgiving of us. You have to build your spirit to forgive people. You have to come in with an attitude as I'm going to forgive this person no matter what they did, no matter what they do. Isn't it true? So that's how you get fit. You exercise your spirit, and you learn how to do that. You know, my brother Richard, we exercise our spirit of forgiveness all the time. You know, we're doing projects around the church. And I go, Richard, why you do it that way? Oh, excuse me, okay. Is my way not good enough? No, it's good enough, but I had another thought. So we said, oh, I forgive you, no problem. So you exercise your spirit by reading, studying, confessing, praying, standing in faith, believing that what God has given you, you're able also to perform. The last thing for, and this is kind of strange that I would say this, but you have to take spiritual rest. You have to rest in the Lord and know that what you have done and what you said and what you've spoken is truly going to come to pass, casting your cares upon the Lord. Amen. Now, I had an experience, and the Lord will speak to you about that. You know that? We had a leak at our house, water leak, and we had one a long time ago, and it was all in our pipes, and it was just a mess. And so the same thing happened. I thought, oh, no, here we go again. And so I called our insurance company, our homeowners insurance, and they said, we'll send somebody out. And before they did, I found out what the mistake was. Oh, the Lord is good, isn't he? Because when the tub was at a lower level, there was no leak. But when it got up to what they have, an overflow valve, there was a leak there, and so it went into that overflow valve. So I just called the plumber, and they fixed it. Everything was fine. But then we go to renew my homeowner's insurance. They go, well, we're going to deny you. We're not going to renew you. I go, why? He said, well, you didn't tell us if you fixed it or not. Come on, that's a year ago. Of course I fixed it. What do you think? I'm going to have a leak for all that time? But what I didn't know, and Daniel can back me up on this, is they're trying to get rid of homeowner's insurance of people in California because it's so costly to repair things. And so they drop people and they don't, take people. And my own insurance company says, I don't know if you're going to get it, my own agent, I don't know if you're going to get renewed because they're trying to drop people and you might be in the dropping category. And I go, I don't think so. So I took a picture of the thing that was fixed. I sent it to them. I gave them an explanation. I showed the inspector that came, and I sent it. And she said, well, it'll probably take 3 to 4 weeks for them to decide on that. That's a long time. And so in the meantime, for the last couple of weeks, I was looking to reprice what it would cost at a different company. Oh, no, it'd be like $2,000, $3,000 more than what I was spending per year. I go, this can't be. And guess what the Lord said to me? Rest. You did all that you need to do. I'll take care of the rest. Just rest in me. Trust in me. You ever have to do that? You've done all that you can do. What more can you do? It's up to God. And so I called her up the other day. She says, oh, it looks like they're going to renew you. How did that happen? And they're going to reduce your rate $200. And she goes, that's never been done before. She said, that's more than one in a million. That's one in forever, never. So God will help you when you cast your care upon him. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that we can grow strong in the Spirit. Be filled with wisdom and grace in all that we do. Take a spiritual inventory of if we have a strong spirit or not. Do we want to give up, or do we know that we can move ahead and believe for you to back us up? So, Father, I just thank you that as those that are here, they'll encourage themselves, like David did, to tap into you, ask for your wisdom and your direction. And I thank you, Lord God, that we have it. In Jesus' name, amen.